going for the right purposes. You're not going just to be gone. You're going because the Lord called you. And we rejoice in that. We love your family. I call them the Sunshine Family. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, when Jennifer was a little girl, we bought her this family of dolls, had this little house, and they were called the Sunshine Family. And this is what your family reminds me of, because every time you walk in the door, it's just like a ray of sunshine coming in, and we appreciate you. And we are going to miss you, but we're glad you're going. Amen. I appreciate what the pastor said this morning. I don't take it lightly. I know he doesn't either. As I said before, I've known him for over 40 years now, 25 of those being under his pastorate. And during all those years, I've known him to be just exactly what he appears to be. A man of God, a man of integrity, a wise man. He has a lot of knowledge in that head of his, but he has a lot more knowledge in his heart. And I appreciate him for that, and we love him. And don't you go anywhere. Every time he goes out of town for any reason, I get scared. He's not coming back. He's not coming back. And I said, don't you die until I do. So, when you found out this morning that I was preaching, I'm probably sure a lot of you said, oh no, the old fogey's preaching again tonight. But I take that as a compliment. Because if you know what a fogey is, it's an old man who is old-fashioned with conservative attitudes and tastes. And so I'll take that as a compliment. Now don't get me mixed up with an old codger, because that's a different story altogether. An old codger is an old man who is strange and humorous at times, kind of like Brother Jerry Morrow. Is he looking at me? Going for his gun? We love you, brother. He says, I'm the only friend he's got. Or he's the only friend I've got. That's what he said. If it wasn't for me, he'd be the ugliest man in the church. So I appreciate that. Tonight, I want to bring a message entitled, Take the Old Path. Take the Old Path. You know, back in Jeremiah's day, a prophet called of God to speak to the nation of Israel in some troublesome times. And that's usually what God does. When he sees people struggling, especially his own people, he sends someone to speak to them the message that he would have them to hear. Now, the message we find in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, when he calls Jeremiah to go and speak to the people, is not a very good message. But it's a message of hope when you get down to the end of it. In Jeremiah, chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, we find the Lord's indictment against the nation of Israel because of their gross sins. Now, they had been in the land for about 800 years now. And all during the time of the kings and the judges, they'd just been kind of going downhill. Out of the 20 kings that served in the half of Judah, only five were good kings that the Bible said did right in the eyes of the Lord. None of the kings in the northern kingdom, Israel, none of those did right in the eyes of the Lord. So you can see from that why God is about to tell them what he wants them to hear. And it's a very strong indictment. Beginning in verse 7 of chapter 2 of the book of Jeremiah, and I brought you, Israel, into a plentiful country, a country flowing with milk and honey, he said, to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that did no profit. Now turn over to chapter 6. He gave us the bad news. But now this is what he wants the people to actually hear. The indictment was true. They did, in fact, do all those things that he said. They were guilty. But in chapter 6 and verse 16, he goes on to say this. And this is what he gave Jeremiah to say to the people. Thus saith the Lord. Now, that's a good place to start right there, isn't it? If you want to find problems or solve solutions for your problems, the Lord is a good place to start. He said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way. And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. God told them their problem. He gave them a solution. And then it was up to them to do it, to make the right choice, to listen to God or listen to man. And of course, we hear that they listened to man. They refused God. They would not do what he said. And because of that, they ended up in captivity in the land of Babylon. Now, Babylon, even though it was a beautiful country, it was one of the most wicked countries in the world at the time, empires. It had the most wicked leader, Nebuchadnezzar, that had ever lived. That's where God sent his people because they refused his offer of salvation. Now, over in the New Testament, in the book of 2 Timothy, Paul's second epistle to Timothy, we find some things written here that go kind of along the right way, the same way, but in a different fashion. Different man, but the same message. Timothy had been serving alongside Paul for about 16 years now. I'm not sure how old he was when he first met up with Paul in Lystra. Some say he was young as 15 or 16 years old. So if that's true, now he's in his early 30s. Paul is well into his 60s. But Paul has some words of advice for this young Timothy, this young preacher, because he realized that what he was leaving him in, the world that he was leaving him in to serve the Lord, to preach, to do the work of God, to do the work of the gospel, was not going to be a good place for him to be. However, God was right there with him. He would be with him from the beginning to the end. And Paul has some advice for this young man, instructing him how to behave and what to do during these troublesome times, because he's already mentioned that in the latter times, perilous times should come. Over in 1 Timothy, he said, terrible times shall come. He was living in a day that was about to take off in apostasy, and we see that running rampant today in our day, don't we? So this message is not just for pastors, because quite often this charge is given to those at an ordination service or sending someone out to do the work of God, such as we're doing with Brother Garrett. But it's also a message for all of us who know Christ as our Savior. We're all involved in the ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have our responsibilities in the day we live in the country we live in the town we live in, with the people we have to do with. In chapter 4, he starts out, I charge thee, or I command thee, it's like a commanding officer giving one of the soldiers a commandment. He said, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his authority to do so. It wasn't just something he came up, some plan, some program. This was right from God. Who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom? Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and it already began to come about. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That's the charge Paul gave young Timothy. It's a very serious charge because there are very serious times and troubles about to happen. They'd already begun in Paul's day and Timothy's day, and they would only increase more and more and more. He says, evil men shall wax worse and worse and worse. The love of many shall wax cold, Jesus said. And that describes our day, doesn't it? We're seeing this all around us. And so this message is for us just as much as it was for Timothy. Not just the pastor, but all of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ and love his appearing. It's a very serious message. It's a commandment to go, to preach, to do, to be active in the ministry, to take part in all the activities involved. He says to preach the word. Now this commandment, to preach the word, is the very foundation and thrust of the gospel ministry. How can they hear without a preacher? How can they hear without a preacher? Now they're going to hear a lot of things, folks. There's a lot of noise in this world today. Most of it is religious. Most of it is foolishness when it comes to the knowledge of God and salvation. The church, the true living church, has a message that the world needs to hear, and we need to be preaching it. Amen. All of us. Not just young men that God calls into the full-time gospel ministry, go out and start churches and do churches and work in churches and serve God faithfully and serve the people faithfully. We're all involved in the gospel ministry. We all need to be preaching the gospel. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Say what God has for us to say. Don't worry about whether they're going to receive it or not, because it says they will not endure. Just do it faithfully day in and day out, but do it. And do it as the oracles of God. Folks, this is the Word of God. Don't apologize for that. It's the power of God unto salvation. Don't apologize for that. I heard a lady say one time, well, I don't like to go out and win souls. She said, I don't like to make people feel uncomfortable about their sins. And I said, well, how uncomfortable are they going to be in hell for all eternity? You might just say one word to bring them back that they might be saved and escape that eternal fire. Amen. Don't worry about making people uncomfortable. Sin is uncomfortable, folks. And it needs to be addressed on every hand. Peter goes on to say, if any man minister, that's us. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Don't worry about whether you're talented enough or smart enough or big enough to do the work of God. Just depend on him and he will use you, I guarantee you. Just say, Lord, here am I. Send me. That God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Too many so-called preachers and evangelists in our time today want all the glory for the ministries that they've so-called started and built up, and all the finances and the big crowds and the big buildings, all that. They say, look what I've done. Look what I've done. Well, folks, I'd rather have two sitting in a pew listening to the Word of God faithfully being preached through the power of the Holy Spirit than 1,000 people sitting somewhere hearing a bunch of foolishness. They can go to the ball game to do that. Do it to glorify the Lord, to whom may be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Far too many are wasting God's time today. Even some preachers. They're wasting God's time. They're wasting the word. They're wasting precious abilities and opportunities to bring somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And they're doing it for their own gain most of the time. He says to be ready and urgent. Be instant in season and out of season to be doing this. What does that mean? It means to be ready. Ready at all times to be a witness. Now, wait a minute. I got to get this straight now. Let me go over here and get my track out and read it. No. If you've got a word of God, you can give it to anybody. But do it faithfully. Be ready to do it. Instant, in season, out of season. Be prepared and urgent about the work that God has given you to do. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, the Bible says. It's not our church programs. It's not the pastor's proposals. It's not the plans of the finance committee or the deacons. It's the power of the Word of God that will change lives and get people into heaven and escape hell. And you and I have been given the responsibility to do that. Be instant, in season and out of season. He says, reprove. What does that mean? It means to tell the truth. That woman said she was uncomfortable in making people feel uncomfortable about their sins. That's what they need to hear, folks. They don't need to hear how beautiful our church is or how handsome our pastor is, and he is, or how educated our Sunday school teachers are. What do they need to hear? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Reprove them. Tell them the truth. Preach convictions. Sin needs to be addressed, folks. That's what's wrong with our country today. Drunkards have become alcoholics. Drug addicts have become dependent upon help. No, sin is a sin. Abortion has become health care. Can you imagine? One of the grossest sins this country is involved in. Sin is sin. It always has been, always will be. And too many people just want to feel good about themselves, like Mr. Osteen down in South Texas. People need to hear that sin kills. It destroys families. It destroys homes. It destroys churches. And it needs to be addressed honestly. It needs to be reproved. He says to rebuke, to warn. Too many churches have got the idea, it's kind of like there's a curve out here, and there's a straight drop off about 300 feet. And too many cars have gone off that cliff and fallen to the bottom. So they get the idea that they're going to build a hospital down there at the bottom of the cliff. What needs to be done, folks, is to build some guardrails on that curve so they won't go over in the first place. Warn them about that danger. Tell them that if they go that way, they're going to end up in a mess. Tell people that they need to be saved. Warn them of the consequences of sin. And help them to escape it. Give them the solution. He says to exhort. What does that involve? That's encouragement. Now, Brother Garrett, when you get your own church one of these days, and by the way, I heard that same sermon. I asked him afterward. I said, are you called to preach? He said, oh, no. I said, well, you ought to be. So I'm glad he listened to me finally. But when you get your church, there are going to be some folks giving you problems, giving you fits. Amen, Pastor? But there's also going to be some folks like he talked about this morning. Faithful, good, godly people who will stand by you through the stuff. And will help you and will encourage you. And you need to encourage those folks as well. Encourage those that are doing the right way. Going the right way. Doing the right jobs. Doing the right, having the right results. Encourage them. Help them in their endeavors as well. He said, do it with all long-suffering. Be patient. Don't get in a hurry. It's all in God's time anyway. We need to wait upon the Lord. Too many people have asked since this problem with the church, this flood, well, how long is it going to take? How long is it going to take? How long is it going to take? You and I tell them, until it gets done. Whatever that is, it'll be done. Too many preachers get the idea that they got to get out there and get it done, get it done, get it done. Build this, build this, build this. Get them in here, get them in here. What about God? How long did he wait on Israel? A long time. And too many preachers get the idea that it's all about them and they got to get it done right now, or they look like a fool in everybody else's eyes. They go off to Bible college and hear all these preachers come into the chapel and they hear all their success stories and they want to be just like them. Well, folks, don't get into that mode. Be what God has made you to be and called you to be. Don't worry about somebody over there doing his thing. You do it God's way and do it faithfully. And don't worry about anybody else. He says doctrine, mentions doctrine here. Doctrine is the stuff that maturity is built upon. Now we're saved by one doctrine known as soteriology, which is the doctrine of salvation. But then all the other doctrines we find within the Word of God help us to grow as Christians and to mature and become perfect in our work for the Lord. As we grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through these doctrines, we become more mature and able to handle things better. Little kids don't handle things. Mature men do. Us old fogies can handle it. You young punks can't. But all successful preaching involves an explanation and an application of the Word of God. Tell them what it says and tell them what it means. And ask them to obey it. Encourage them to obey it. Do what's right. Do it God's way. Do it God's way. Paul's charge to Timothy, or his command to Timothy concerning this solemn truth, is because he knew that the men that he would be ministering to just might not listen. Look at verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Boy, doesn't that speak of our time today? There is so much foolishness being preached in churches and in pulpits around this nation, around the world even. It's sickening. Because they're taking multitudes and multitudes and multitudes straight to hell along with themselves. You say, well, we got to make them feel better about themselves. What are you trying to do, make a better sinner to go to hell? No, we need to be making better Christians to go to heaven and to serve God faithfully until they get there. Paul tells Timothy that during his ministry, his message would not always be received. I remember telling a lady one time a certain truth from the Word of God, and she said, that's not how I see it. And I thought, ma'am, I just read it to you. Why wouldn't you believe it? Well, that's not how I see it. And you know what? That broke my heart. Because I was trying to help her. I was telling her the truth about the thing she was struggling with. And she wouldn't receive it. They won't always listen. So what do we do? Quit saying it? Quit preaching it? No, just preach that much more harder. Amen. Keep on keeping on is a message we heard in Bible college. Too many want their ears scratched by these ear-scratching preachers. Well, I'd rather have my heart broke by a message of God than to have my ears scratched by some yahoo who didn't know what he's talking about. If the message pastor delivers this day convicts me of my sin, so be it. God, thank you for it. It's what I needed. It's what he needed to say because he said it in the power of your strength. Some of the largest congregations in America today preach things contrary to this book. They got big crowds, big buildings, big bank accounts. But in the eyes of God, they're worthless. The church that preaches the truth in the power of the Holy Spirit does more good than all of those churches combined put together. And people don't want to hear the truth and even become offended by it. People are more religious than ever, but they do not know Jesus. So he tells Timothy to make a choice. Verse 4. Verse 5. But watch thou in all things. Timothy, I've told you what it's going to be like. I know you're a man of God. I've seen you operate these past 16 years. I've left you in 5 different communities to help the churches there. You're even pastoring one in Ephesus right today. I know what kind of man you are. And I've told you what it's going to be like in the future. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. And then he puts the cherry on the sundae. Make full proof of thy ministry. Amen. Complete the job. Do it faithfully while you're doing it, while you have the opportunities, while you have the time, while you have the abilities, while you have the strength. And keep on doing it till you can't do it no more. And hopefully that's when you're lying in the grave. Now, Paul obviously wasn't very good at hermeneutics. Because he got his sermon kind of turned around. You start out with an introduction, and then you give the basis of your sermon, then you give a conclusion. Well, Paul turns this around because he gives the introduction last. This is the reason he was writing to Timothy to tell him this is a very important truth, giving this very important charge, because he knew what he was going to be facing in the days ahead. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I'm getting ready to go. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, Timothy. Not to me only, church. But unto all them, all those who have ministered faithfully in the time I've given them to do so, will receive this crown of righteousness because they love his appearing. He makes mention in the first verse of judgment. We must all, folks, give an account to God for the life he's given to live for his glory and his honor. Not just preachers. Maybe so to preachers, because the Bible says to whom much is given, much is required. But that doesn't allow us to escape the judgment either. We have a work to do. We have a ministry to be involved in. And we need to be doing it faithfully day in and day out. Preaching, rebuking, exhorting, encouraging, doing the work of God faithfully wherever God puts us. Stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And Brother Garrett, I want to say something to you today, if that's all right. You can take it for what it's worth, or take it with a grain of salt. But I've watched you and your family during these times you've been here. I think it's been before even Olivia was born, I believe. And I've watched you behave yourself in a way that I knew God could use you. I've watched Miss Lorne as she loved you and stood beside you and helped you in everything that you did. So I know that when you leave here, going in the power and the strength of God, in the Holy Spirit, taking the Word of God wherever you go, I know God will use you if you make the choice. Don't turn away. Don't turn back. Find that path of ministry that God has for you and walk in it every single day of your life. And then when you get to be as old as I am or even older, you can look back and say, God has been so good to me. I certainly don't deserve it, but I thank God. And we will be sorry you're leaving. We'll miss you. We love you. Like the ladies say, especially your children. No. I love young preachers because it gives me hope. Hope for tomorrow and hope for all eternity. Because as they go out, they too will be winning souls for the glory of God and building churches and supporting missions and helping families and doing the work of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So thank you, brother, for your answer to God to go. Let's stand in prayer.